think we shouldn't call the roll, but people come and people go. Do you also, are you able to get an image of that?
Absolutely, Avery. And okay, what I usually do is I make a list of attendance when I send out the link to the MP3. Is that all right?
Oh, yeah. No, that's great. Okay. And so you go to this. It's not only the verbal attendance taking.
No, exactly. And
okay, great. Thanks.
Come afterwards, and I look at the Adobe Connect thing, too.
Okay, thanks.
So shall we skip the attendance?
Has the recording started?
Okay. The recordings have started.
Okay, thank you. Yes, please.
Shall I do the attendance?
Yes, please.
Okay, sorry. On the call, we have Tony Harris, Avery Doria, Tony Holmes, Alan Greenberg, Philip Shepherd, Jeff Newman, Chuck Gomes, Robin Gross, Steve Metallis, Cyril Chua, Stefan van Gelder, Bill Drake, John Nevitt, David Maher, and for staff, we have Liz Gaster, Rob Hogarth, Ben Bauer, Marika Koenig, Margie Milam, and Glenda St. Javis. Have I left
you? No, I think you forgot me, Glenn.
Oh, Milton, you've just arrived. Thank you. And we also have Raimundo Becker from the board on the call. Thank you, Milton.
Yes, for those that didn't follow the mail, basically, Raimundo, if I understand correctly, is in the role that Sue used to be in terms of being the SIC, I guess it is, the Improvement Committee, Functional Improvement Committee representative or liaison to the effort for GNSO improvement and restructuring. So I wanted to invite him here to listen in, to give us any interpretive assistance we may need along the way, or to take back questions to the SIC, if that's necessary. And I very much appreciate you joining us, Raimundo. Okay, we have only an hour, and after several admonitions to council list, I'm going to try and keep it to just an hour. So what I wanted to do in this meeting was do a walkthrough of the suggested changes to the bylaws as written and then amended twice, I mean commented and amended twice, once by Philip and once by Chuck. There have also been some comments sent in externally, which I hope people will bring up as we hit any of the points or any of the issues under question. Basically, I want to make sure that, A, we find out whether certain of these items are, yeah, it seems like that's in general fine with most people, and we'll just have to wordsmith it into a motion, or B, whether we have some substantive issues that we need to discuss on this list so that we figure out what position and how to word a motion. I'd like people to vote to indicate if they've got a difference with something, but let's save the long discussions and the back and forth for on the list, or if we can't resolve things on the list or the list goes silent, in another meeting. But meeting is, I think, what we do in the worst case. If we can get things resolved on the list, that's better.
Avery, just a word of clarification. I was a pen holder on behalf of the whole of the commercial stakeholder group information.
Thank you.
They represent a consolidated views of three existing constituencies.
Okay, thank you very much for the clarification. Chuck, were you an individual or were you also?
I was an individual, but I think that my views represent the views of the registry stakeholder group.
Okay, thanks. Okay, then, the last thing. So the stuff is showing in Acrobat. Margie's got the pen for notating any changes or differences we made. Now, in terms of going through it, probably, I don't know if everybody could see a screen, but for simple sake, we should probably go through and read it as it is now so people know what we're changing, just in case they're not looking at a screen, and also so the call listeners have it. Then read through, we read through the changes and in each of their order.
Yes, that's good.
Okay, so basically then Margie can read through what the staff recommended.
Well, do we really need to...
Or do we just read through it as it is?
As it's been changed by Philip and I.
Okay, fine. Is that okay with everyone?
This is Steve. I may have missed this earlier, but for those of us who can barely read this on the screen, it's almost totally illegible.
Right. We did talk about that. It was sent
somebody
out
emailing it?
On the
23rd. Steve, are you on the restructure list?
I should be.
Okay, I just sent the document to the restructure list, so it
should
be there.
Great, I'll take a look.
So you can take a look at it in there. But anyhow, and that's one of the reasons for reading it, in case that's all you got. Okay, so, Margie, would you, I guess if you read the first one, and then, Chuck, do you want to read the one that is, since you're the pen holder on the last version we're looking at?
I thought we're just going to read the edited version, aren't we?
Yes, we're reading the edited version, and it's in front of her and everyone, and Margie's got the pen on it.
Okay. So I can't make any changes on the screen, but I can go ahead and read Article 2. And I'm going to read it, including the changes that that you had.
I mean, Article 2, right.
All right.
Article 10, Section 2.
Excuse me?
You're starting with Article 10, Section 2?
Yes, that's right. Article 10, Section 2. The GNSO shall consist of, one, four stakeholder groups, as described in Section 5 of this article, and, two, a GNSO council responsible for managing the policy development process of the GNSO, as described in Section 3 of this article. And so what we did was we crossed out representing particular constituencies, and I think Chuck, that to your deletion, correct?
Yeah, and I can comment on it, or people can read the comments, whichever people prefer.
Yeah, please read through and then.
Chuck, go ahead and read your comments.
Okay. I deleted the reference to constituencies because there's no reference to constituencies in Section 5, and because it is possible that a stakeholder group could, in essence, not have any separate constituencies. And I didn't do that in any way to minimize the importance of constituencies. It just, I think, works cleaner.
Okay.
Any questions? We do have the ability to raise your hand in Adobe Connect for those of you who are familiar with the program.
Or we can, for anybody that doesn't happen to be in Adobe Connect, we can just do verbal cues. I mean, you know, you listen.
Hello?
As we always do. Yes.
Yeah, can you hear me? It's Tony Harris because I got cut off just now.
Okay, yeah.
We're talking about on this this document that was sent, number one, right, subject to the provisions of the transition article, et cetera. Because it says that the GNSO Council shall consist of three representatives selected by each of the constituencies. But I don't think that's the case, right?
The
stakeholder groups, not constituencies, or am I wrong?
Well, that's the change that's under discussion now. And
I just wanted to make sure I understood correctly. Thank you.
Okay, so at the moment we have that the GNSO shall consist of, one, four stakeholder groups as described in Section 5 of this article, and, two, a GNSO council responsible for managing the policy development process of the GNSO as described in Section 3 of this article. So that's the current wording on the table, correct?
Yes.
Are there issues with that wording among the participants? So does that wording, does anyone object to that wording being kept and going forward with that wording? Obviously, we still have to create motions and put it forward to a council vote. Constituencies and such can comment on it, but do we go forward with that wording for now?
Avery, this is Stefan.
Okay, Stefan.
I'm sorry to slow things down maybe, but I haven't got Chuck's email yet.
It was also sent on the 21st.
Yeah, which I'm having trouble finding because I'm that organized. But and that the Acrobat thing is unreadable.
Even in full screen mode.
Well, I'm trying to get it in full screen mode, but I must be. Have I tried what?
Zooming your browser.
Yep. But it's actually the display's just changed, so maybe I can read it now.
Okay. Since yours was one of the strongest voices on getting it done in an hour, I'm going
to
push.
Yeah, on. I know. I like to, you know, be hypocritical when I can.
We all do. Okay, so is it okay to move on?
Yeah, yeah, please do.
Okay. So then we have basically and the next one is subject to the provision. That's the one we've just gotten to.
Okay. So should we move on? So it sounds like the first one is fine.
Yes, the first one is fine.
Okay. Subject to the provisions of the transition article, and as described in Section 5 of the article, the GNSO Council shall consist of three representatives from the registry stakeholder group, three representatives from the registrar stakeholder group, six representatives selected from the commercial stakeholder group, six representatives selected from the non-commercial and individual stakeholder group, and three representatives selected by the ICANN nominating committee, one of which shall be non-voting but otherwise entitled to participate on equal footing with members of the GNSO Council. So why don't we stop there? I think we've got
okay,
some
hands. Yeah, there's probably some issues there. So as the edits went through at one point after the edits that Philip did for the commercial stakeholder group was a change of 6-3 and in D.
Yes, I
and then it was a change back to 6 from, I'm just describing the changes to it, and then there's a scribe back to 6 with Chuck. There was an addition of non-commercial and individual stakeholder group, and I guess that was done. I'm not sure who did that change.
Okay, and raised his hand.
It was
oh,
Philip's change
raising?
On the and individual.
Hands raising. Okay, so we're going to use the hand raising. Okay, so who had a hand raised first? That's this doesn't tell.
How does one?
The only one with hand raised. Go ahead.
How does one, Avery? This is Milton.
Yes.
How do you raise hands? Are you?
If you're using the Adobe thing, you do that. I would really prefer to just do the verbal list, because unless everybody is on Adobe,
I need
have
to figure
no
out how to raise the hand and how to access this Adobe and what.
I'm not on Adobe.
Okay, so
people are having trouble with it, so why are you?
Okay, so I've got Steve Metallis, who I saw on Adobe. Who else wants to speak?
Me.
That's Milton.
And Philip.
And Philip. Anyone else?
And Robin.
And Robin. Okay, please also just state sort of views. We have an hour for the meeting. Wait, I don't want to get deep into discussions. Go ahead. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, this is Steve. Just to say, we would object to the word 6 at the beginning of D because the condition for moving to this new allocation of council seats has not been fulfilled on the non-commercial side.
Thank you,
Milton.
Yeah, that's crap, to put it shortly. First of all, I would like Steve to point to where this condition is stated. I don't think it is stated anywhere. I think the trademark constituencies have gotten it into their head that they're the condition, but there aren't any actually written down. And secondly, we, unlike the business constituencies, have actually expanded our membership recently and showed a pretty remarkable display of support for our charter proposal, which I think exceeded any other response. So I think we don't have any representational issues to deal with any more than any other constituency.
Okay, thank you. Philip.
No, I said. I mean, the point is really one of timing. I think we in the CSGs were all concerned, I think, with the demonstration that the non-commercial and individual stakeholder group would have sufficiently expanded and be sufficiently representative to merit the additional three seats, which was the whole essence of the deal that was made back in the summer. And we're very happy for six seats to remain there as soon as that evidence is clear. But as of today, we do not see that evidence, and that is the issue. So it's not so much one of where we want things to be. It's just a timing issue in terms of what was expected to happen that we don't think has.
Okay, Robin.
Yeah, I think Milton pretty much addressed the points on trying to change, trying to take away three non-commercial seats. So I want to address the point about changing the name of the constituency or the stakeholder group here to the non-commercial and individual stakeholder group. Philip is welcome to propose names to the non-commercial stakeholder group, but I don't think he should just try to change the name here, especially since it's my understanding that individuals are welcome in both the commercial and the non-commercial stakeholder group. So I'm not sure why it would only be put in the title of one unless you're trying to shunt individuals into one and not the other. So I don't understand the change. I don't support the change. I don't think it's appropriate to come from the commercial stakeholder group either.
Okay, thank you. So we have basically, obviously, a difference of opinion on D. We also, if we change it, that puts us in variance with what I believe was the board's recommendation. So we would actually have to take that one, as I can understand it, back to the board if there was agreement in the council that we would need to take that back to the board.
All right. Aubrey, put Chuck in the queue, please.
Yes, please, Chuck.
Okay, first of all, real simple thing, I think. Is anybody really object if we delete the end of it, an individual? Is there any objection to that? Is that a simple change we could make?
It is a simple change.
Does anyone object to removing an individual on the name?
Well, the reason that we had suggested putting it in there was to distinguish the fact that individuals who have been members of the commercial stakeholder group would be incorporated in some way as single traders or as a one director company or whatever, and that would be the nature of their representation.
So even if they're not even if they're commercial entities, you're suggesting they'd be in the non-commercial group?
Well, then if they were commercial and incorporated in some way that's recognized by a national legal authority, and that can be as simple as a sole trader, then they would be welcome as a demonstration, that would be the demonstration of the commercial intent. And so what we're trying to flag, really, in this whole debate where individuals have expressed a concern about not being included, is that the natural place for an individual when acting as an individual should be the non-commercial stakeholder group, and that was understanding also of where at-large interests had been in terms of the way they may participate in the future in that stakeholder group. So that was its intent, to flag a potential home there, but not as an exclusion, but more of an inclusion.
Can I ask a clarifying question? One thing I've never been sure of. So the artist who is a domain name holder and uses it for advertising their art but is not a corporation, is not incorporated in any sense, would belong in the individual stakeholder group?
It's difficult to take a case-by-case basis, but I mean, if they were, you know, if they were demonstrated trading, I mean, were they, you know, they registered a tax or whatever in their local country and that sort of thing, that would also be indication of commercial intent. I mean, I think it's just saying, you know, we would, in the stakeholder group, require some sort of demonstration rather than merely, yes, I am.
Aubrey, could I finish my comment?
Oh, sorry.
And the discussion isn't very helpful, so it was not as if I was self-interrupted or anything. But it seems to me that then in both of these cases, the three or six and the adding of an individual come down to what the board governance committee, in fact, the board itself, recommended. So I would suggest that we get direction, that we ask Raimundo to go back to the board and then give us direction in terms of this particular issue. We could spend forever just talking about
this. But we also have to indicate that we are divided on this issue.
Right. Could I get in the queue?
That division goes.
Could I get in the queue? Just a quick comment?
Yes, sir.
This is Milton. I recall in the discussions of the working group that was in the summer that came up with the bicameral model, that we agreed that both stakeholder groups on the user side would admit individuals. Mm-hmm. And individuals are individuals. They, you know, whether some kind of incorporation or demonstration is required is up to the stakeholder group, but I don't see any real disagreement here. I think all I see is that Philip wants to rename our stakeholder group, and I think we can just dismiss that if we're going to be reasonable today.
Okay, anyone else?
Aubrey, Chuck again.
Yes, Chuck.
Yeah, My understanding was the same, and there was a lot of list discussion that, in fact, Philip, I believe you specifically pointed out that individuals were included in the...
I said we currently had individuals in the BC, was probably my statement.
Yeah, and so again, I think this is a change from what I understood, and that's why I think it would be good to get more direction in terms of the suggestions that are being made.
Philip, I wanted to check one thing. When you gave your reason for having added "and individual," were you also objecting to its removal?
It was a proposal which flagged. I mean, it's all wrapped up with the representation issue and how the stakeholder group is occupied on people, if you like. To some extent, it's a connected issue. I mean, it was a suggestion in terms of naming, but I think it's so wrapped up with a fundamental issue of representation for which we're not going to agree on this call. We may as well just leave it as one package, to flag.
Okay, thank you. I'll leave it there. The other line that was in here, moving on, is, and so far I've got two questions. One is the 6 or 3, and the other one is the question of individuals that I'll have to have for the questions discussed and addressed. The other one that we didn't get to is one voting representative shall be assigned to each house subject to a selection procedure adopted by that house. That was a change, I guess, from the commercial stakeholder group. I'm trying to get the new name. Is that something that is basically most people's viewpoint, as opposed to any of the other processes that we've discussed of the randomness, the alternating, the selection by NomCom, the they decide on their own? But is this the way that most people on this call think this should go? Does anyone object to leaving this line in?
It's Alan. I don't know how this would work. I mean, I like the other methods better in any case, but how each house can determine it in independently and unilaterally when there are fixed numbers of people available.
Well, I mean,
we could end up with someone being rejected by all the houses. I don't understand how it would work, and I would need that before I would say whether I support it or not.
Right. I think Alan's right on that. This needs some more work.
Avery, where is that change that you just mentioned?
That change is at the bottom of E.
E? One E. One
right,
E.
Or one
Thanks.
E.
The last sentence of E.
This is Steve.
Oh. Did I get in the queue?
Yes, Steve. Anyone else other than Steve? Okay.
Yeah, it's John.
Hi, John. You want to be in the queue?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so I've got Steve and John. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Steve.
I really had a question of whether this is replacing language that's in there, or is this adding language? I can't really tell. But it seems to be adding language, which means that without this, there's no specification in the bylaws of how this is done. So doesn't it need to be specified in some fashion?
Doesn't necessarily have to be in the bylaws, though.
Right. It can be in the... In the methods, I mean.
In the methods.
In the rules and procedures.
Rules and procedures.
I just think as a matter of good practice, you probably want to spell out in the bylaws how people get seated on this council, which this doesn't.
Well,
this says how people are seated, but it doesn't. It doesn't say how the NomCom people are assigned.
Moreover, it needs to be specific so the NomCom knows what their job is.
But in our discussions, we had decided that would go in the rules and procedures, I think.
I just don't agree with Steve that there's no description of the procedure here. It says they're selected by the nominating committee, it could be clarified that the nominating committee decides which one goes to which house, but that's kind of implicit in the selection, isn't it?
That hasn't been, and in discussions we had with NomCom, that was one of those open discussions that is certainly one way to do it, that the NomCom would decide. But then there's also a problem if there's always one person that's already somewhere, and how to decide who the non-voting was. So that had its complexities also.
Hi, this is Jeff Newman, if I can get in a queue.
Okay, also John first. So Steve and Jeff.
It's Margie. I'd like to be in the queue also.
That's Margie. And as I say, just...
And Tony Harris, too.
Just brief comments, and then we'll obviously have to discuss this one further also. John.
Yeah, that was actually my comment. It's more of a process one. We've gone through one and a half of, I don't know, 20, 25 changes in a half hour. So I thought that the intent was quickly flag the ones that require additional discussion and quickly flag the ones that are, that are acceptable to everyone, and I'm not sure if we're doing that.
Okay, thank you. I'm not sure we're doing that either, and I apologize for not doing it. Jeff.
Thanks. My quick comment is I think a long discussion needs to be had at some point on this whole notion of having a separate document of rules and procedures as opposed to putting things in the bylaws. I know people want flexibility, but the long and the short of it is our contracts, the registry and registrar agreements, rely on the processes set forth by the council in the definition of consensus policies. So put that in the back of your mind, and let's not take as a given that we're going to have a separate rules and procedures document where a lot of this stuff goes.
We'll get down to question four. Margie.
Yeah, I guess I wanted to talk specifically about this assigning to each house. I mean, if the idea is that you have one house that's commercial and the other house that's non-commercial, perhaps you'd set
those
up
are
a...
Not houses. Those are not houses, Margie. There's user house and there's contracting party house.
Sorry, that's what I meant. User house and contracting party house. You could have the nominating committee know what the criteria are if you want your representative to have certain characteristics.
Yep, there's many ways to do it. Thank you. Tony.
Yes, very quickly. I think that this last sentence, where they'll be assigned to each house subject to selection procedure, well, number one, what happens if both stakeholder groups select the same person? I think really Milton's suggestion was good, that the nominating committee should resolve that. As far as people who are already sitting, you could, who are on the council right now, perhaps you could put something in which says they have the initial rights to be voting, and the non-voting member will come from people who are added therefrom by the nominating committee.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so that one is flagged as discussion at the moment. I've got four questions. Two of them came out of that. One is a mechanism for it.
As a constructive suggestion, I mean, the reason that was there was basically a placeholder to say there's an unresolved allocation issue that needs to be dealt with somehow. And the wording was intended to say that, and the how exactly it's done was a flag to say, and that will be in the subsequent guidelines. So if we want to make it more generic than that current phrasing, that might work. But I think a placeholder is needed if we're going to maintain the concept of this allocation to each house.
A simple way to fix it.
Okay, we can take it to the discussion.
Okay.
Right, as I say. And what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to jump edit to edit, because even reading through what's there is taking so long. The next edit I had was the staff had put in, each stakeholder may select representatives according to the charter procedure, and then staff had a line, subject to the provision that each board-recognized constituency shall be allocated a minimum of one seat on the GNSO Council. That was stricken in Philip's edit, and so that's the next issue. Do people object to keeping that stricken? Is
keeping
there any
what
discussion
stricken?
On that particular issue?
Could you repeat what was stricken, Aubrey?
Okay, yeah. The subject to the provision that each board-recognized constituency shall be allocated a minimum of one seat on the GNSO Council.
Avery, this is Stefan. If the question is do I object to it being stricken, the answer is no.
That is
I'm in favor of it being stricken.
Okay, thank you. That was the double negative question. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it's Alan. The comment from staff that came back when this was initially discussed was this is something the board feels strongly about. If that is indeed the case, the board will not approve them with that line stricken, and we take whatever action necessary after that. If the board doesn't feel strongly, clearly it's the wish of the council right now.
So, Alan, are you saying that the board wants each constituency to have one seat on the council.
That was the comment that came back from staff when the issue was first raised, when the bylaws were first presented.
So that
yeah, Avery, the reason it was struck was it makes no logical sense. The moment you have four constituencies in the commercial stakeholder group.
Right. It makes no sense, and I don't hear any objections to striking it. I think we need to move on.
Right. One thing, though, I mean, there is a pending question of if the staff is saying that this is what the board wants, do we need to ask the board for clarification if this is indeed what they want?
Probably. No, Rob, if I can get to you.
Yes, Rob.
To clarify, staff didn't say specifically that this is what the board required. I think our view was, in interpreting the BGC report and the intentions of the board and looking at the existing bylaws, this seemed to be a reasonable suggestion. I don't think we were saying that was a specific requirement. And obviously, at this point, you guys have all shared your very clear thoughts on the matter.
I have Raimondo having raised his hand. Raimondo, please.
Yes, please. Well, I am listening to this question, but I have no answer for the moment to do, so I will only listen to that. And I come back.
I can barely hear you.
I say that I am not able to answer this question today, but I am listening to it, and I will come back later.
Okay. So that is the first question of interpretation that we have.
Okay.
Is the staff's interpretation correct? Or is the interpretation given by many of the council people correct? And there's really two interpretations. Okay, thanks.
Aubrey, I disagree that there's two interpretations. We just heard from Robert that the staff did not say that was required by the BGC report, that was their interpretation.
Well,
they
that's
did
their
not,
interpretation
in fact,
of what the board report wants. Yes.
They did not say that's what the board wants. And I think as Robert indicated, it was shot down pretty quickly. And I think that this is not a point that we want to make a big deal over.
Okay,
it would be nice to have one thing that is not actually questioned
as
we go forward.
Does anyone disagree with that? And basically sort of saying, I mean, obviously Raimondo will take whatever questions he wants to take with him to the SIC, and we'll bring up what the discussion was. But is there objection to dropping this line?
No objection, Aubrey. In fact, this is one area where we had good list discussion,
yeah,
which we want to have, and the problems with the approach of focusing it on constituencies was well pointed out. It doesn't work.
Okay, so this one should be dropped.
So I'm sure, Aubrey, can I say something? It's Margie.
Yes, Margie.
Because I did the first version of this. What we're basically saying is if we remove the one seat per constituency, then the question really becomes, what is the benefit of being a constituency, and what is, you know, what are the benefits if we have go through the process of having a board approved constituencies if there isn't a board seat. So, you know, part of the analysis once we decide to remove that section is, you know, what does a constituency mean? What benefits do they have?
I think it means,
and is there something there that we want to include in the bylaws?
Ivory, it's Stefan. Can I answer that?
Yes, please, but then we should take it to the list. We'll drop the line, and we'll take the discussion of what a constituency means to the list.
Please, yes.
Okay, I just want to say very quickly that there's a wording problem which we have pointed out. I mean, constituencies now and constituencies after the restructure mean two different things. After the restructure, they mean interest groups. And the what's the reason for having interest groups is to increase participation.
Yes.
They don't necessarily have to have a seat on the council to participate.
Also to organize participation.
Yeah.
Can
okay.
we move on?
Moving on. The next one we have is an addition. I guess it was made by you, Chuck.
Yeah, I had a couple
except
of them.
Except it's basically, I'll read the whole preceding sentence. The stakeholder groups with three seats on the GNSO Council, no two representatives shall be citizens of the same country or of countries located in the geographic region, except, and this is the addition, except in cases where a stakeholder group can demonstrate that there are no eligible and available members representatives from three different regions.
Four.
It says three here.
I've got four.
Oh,
sorry, no. Three up top, four up,
right,
four on the next one.
So any objection to this change?
I wouldn't say I strongly object, but I have some questions about the inability of this entire stakeholder group to field people from three different regions. I wonder who put that in.
I did.
Chuck?
Chuck.
Yeah, go ahead and explain.
Sure. One of the problems, and we've certainly experienced that in the registry constituency over the years, is that obviously our membership require pretty limited. You got to have a contract with ICANN, and so we have been forced to find somebody with dual citizenship or something that may not even be interested in serving just to meet this requirement. The idea here was to provide some flexibility where there's nobody eligible or willing to serve, because one of the things that happens is you don't get the best people by doing that. Now, every effort should be made to satisfy the geographic regions. We're supportive of that. But it's sometimes hard to get people that are within your constituency or in the future stakeholder group that meet that criteria. Now, maybe that'll get better going forward, but this was just an idea to provide an exception if it's needed.
I would say that if it's a registry constituency or stakeholder group specific problem, and we should make it a registry SG specific solution.
It's not a registry specific problem.
Okay, this one obviously has made the list of things that need further discussion.
Hang on, object too much. I mean, if I could explain why the CSG supported that was. We were also looking at different types of diversity beyond geographic, and recognizing that even with our existing three constituencies, with ISPs, IP, and business users, trying to get that diversity in as well as geographic diversity could be a challenge, and therefore we thought the flexibility was a reasonable one, particularly as it requires a demonstration of an inability to do so.
Okay, thanks. So we'll take that one to the discussion list and probably put it together with the next one, unless there's no disagreement on that one, except in cases where a stakeholder group can demonstrate that there are no eligible available member representatives from four different regions, and this is an application to the non-contracted party.
Yeah, and that change of 3 to 4 was ours in the CSG, and that was merely the mathematics in keeping that the same as the ratio in the stakeholder groups of 3 seats.
So does anybody object to the change of 3 to 4 in the beginning of that sentence and the exception clause? Does that need further discussion?
Wow.
Okay, good.
So you could have four people from the U.S. Of the 6 seats on the GNSO Council?
No, you can't have four.
Okay, you get three four. From one country.
One geographic region, yes, according to this change.
Ooh, man.
Okay, so that one goes on the discussion list, whether it's 3 or 4. Unless, you know, okay. And what about the exception statement?
Same as before.
So it's also for discussion. Okay.
Yeah.
So that whole clause there is basically up for discussion. Okay, moving on. The next mark one is the in 2 in the last paragraph, correct? Which is the paragraph that's except in special circumstances. Except in special circumstances, such as to meet geographic diversity requirements where no alternative representative is available to serve, no council member may be selected to serve more than 2 consecutive terms. For these purposes, a person selected to fill a vacancy in a term shall not be deemed to have served that term. A former council member must remain out of office for 1 full term prior to serving any subsequent term. And this is a sentence with a change. A special circumstance is approved by majority vote, and it had been of both the houses, but it's of the house where the council member will sit. So the original had been where a special circumstance approved by majority vote of the council, essentially, and it's been changed to be up to the original house. Does anybody object to that change?
It's Robin. I liked it better as both houses.
Okay. does anyone object to backing the change out? One of the questions I haven't been asking, but that's the other alternative. If someone objects to it being there, does anyone object to backing it out?
I mean, the reason, Philip, I think I'm objecting because that was our suggestion. I mean, the reason we put it in, really, was to reflect the bottom-up nature of ICANN, and we felt that it was appropriate that as much as things can be devolved to bottom-up democracy, they should be, and this was a case where it could be devolved to the House level rather than the Council level. So it was based on a fundamental principle that we've operated on for the last 10 years.
Avery, Stefan here.
Okay, Stefan.
I'd actually also add that it's an addition that does make sense under the bicameral structure. I mean, it's reasonable to give responsibility for this kind of thing to the actual SG or the House. Sorry, not the SG, the House that is concerned by the changes. I don't see any problem with that edit.
Okay, Robin, but you want to see this go further in discussion?
Yeah, that's right. I think it's better when we have the whole council to look at the issue rather than just the other stakeholder group in the House, which may or may not have good reasons for not wanting to allow the special circumstances.
Okay, thank you. Now, I just wanted to make sure after having heard the two reasons that you hadn't made a quick change that, I see it. I'm trying to get a few things on the list if possible. Okay, I've got that one down as a question. Moving on, the next thing is in Procedure 3. Procedures for handling GNSO Council member vacancies, registrations, removals are prescribed in the GNSO Council operating rules and procedures, and that has been replaced by have been described in the applicable stakeholder group or nominating committee charter approved by the board. Any objection to that change? So it's basically moving the procedures for member vacancies from operating rules and procedures to basically stakeholder group rules or charter rules. Any objection to that change? Okay. Hearing no objection, that one can change. Next is in A, B, and C of point 3. And a GNSO council member will resign at any time given notice, and this is for removal of a GNSO council member selected by the nominating committee may be removed for cause as follows. A, a vote of at least 3/4 of the users and providers house in those. Oh, it's just changing the name from non-contracted party house to users and providers house is the only change. In B, the change is a name change again, and C was not changed. So I guess the question here is, do people object to the change of name from non-contracted party to users and providers house? And from contracted parties to contracted parties and suppliers house.
Chuck, please.
Okay, Chuck, anyone else want to be in the queue? And basically this is just to give a quick reason as to why or why not it needs to be.
It may be helpful, Avery, to take the questions one at a time.
Okay. Anyone object to the change for A, from non-contracted party to users and providers?
It's Alan. I have a comment.
Yes, Alan.
I'm not objecting or not objecting, but surely the first place it occurs should not be in the removal of a NOMCOM attendee. It should be somewhere way up near the top if we're going to change the name of the house.
It's the first time the house name is mentioned in the...
I understand, but still.
Well, the name...
we may need to add something at the beginning if those are the names we want to use.
Okay. Any other comment on A? Okay. Comment on B. Chuck.
Yes, and this occurs throughout the document, but I and my comments address it a lot later. I missed it here. So the I don't see why and suppliers is added. I think it adds confusion. A key differentiator in the contracted party house is that the members of the stakeholder groups have contracts with ICANN that require them to comply with consensus policies. And that was very clearly dealt with in our processes that led up to this. And so I'm not sure what why the name change is being proposed here. It seems to have the possibility of adding confusion without adding any value.
Okay.
I strongly agree with Chuck.
As do I, Sean.
Okay, does anyone...
Well, perhaps I'll respond to the original thinking there, was that I understood that applicant registries were to be given observer status within the registrar contract, within the registrar registry SG, and because they would not at that point be contracted parties, it was simply a clarification.
Yeah, and your understanding there is correct, Philip, and that is covered elsewhere in this document, that the observer status, but they're still not suppliers.
Okay, well, this one is on the list for...
Well, does it need to stay on the
Philip,
list?
You're, willing
okay.
to
well, I mean, why don't we ask that house to think of a name that encompasses that intent?
This is Jeff Newman. I just think that's wholly inappropriate to think of a name for that intent. It's just there's no reason in this provision that we need to come up with some sort of name. It's just inappropriate. And frankly, Avery, it shouldn't even be on the list. The fact that the business users raise that, you know, it's not like we're raising issues for the commercial stakeholder group. I just think it's inappropriate to keep it on the list.
Right. Basically, at the council level, where the council is going to have to vote on the board the recommended bylaw changes, the board, it seems that any constituency is able to comment on any of the bylaws, you know, no matter how we may feel about those particular comments. So I will include the question, and I mean, unless the users and providers house is willing to sort of drop the proposed change. Is there an objection to dropping the proposed change?
Well, yes, I'm suggesting
right.
that the contracted
yeah, no,
parties house think of an alternative that,
right.
that they're happy with.
Yeah.
What about contracted parties house
for that? I just wanted to make sure that I couldn't clear it out because it was dropped. But if it's not dropped, then it's a discussion item. Okay.
Philippe, are you not okay with just contracted parties house?
Of course I'm not.
I think Philip should need to expand on that. Other than the observer status, there's something more he's just not conveying.
Okay, on the list, please.
Well, yeah. If it's on the list, that's fine. Fine. Philip, please expand on what your exact concern is.
Please do it on the list. Please even ask him on the list. Each of the two GNSO voting houses, as described, and the word voting was removed. Any objection to leave?
Where's that?
Where are you?
I am at six. I went to point six, which I believe is the next one, eh?
Did you do the appropriate thing?
I missed the appropriate. Thank you very much. A vacancy on the GNSO Council shall be deemed to exist in the case of death, resignation, or removal of any member. Vacancy shall be filled for the unexpired time by the appropriate nominating committee or appropriate stakeholder group. And there was a removal of the first appropriate for a nominating committee.
There is only one.
Exactly. It's redundant word. That's probably why it was stated by Chuck.
Any objection?
Yeah.
Do we have one that no one will object to? Fantastic. Thank
Yay.
You. I call it. It's changed. Okay. Next one. And we've got only 7 minutes left. So each of the two GNSO voting houses, so it's dropping the word voting.
Yeah, again, it was redundant usage. If you want to call them voting houses, call them voting houses throughout the whole text. If you want to call them houses, call them houses, but you know, choose one or the other. And my guide would always be to choose the shorter of the two.
Okay. Any objection to dropping the voting? No objection. Moving on. On A, we have contracted party and suppliers house.
The next two are the same.
Right,
are
the same we've already covered.
Aubrey, this is Steve. I just want to put on the record that our view is that seat 13 and seat 14 should be switched in those two subparagraphs.
I see.
If we keep on going this at this rate, Steve, you're going to want to switch it back.
No, actually, whichever comes up first should be in the user and provider house.
Okay. I'm assuming that's the case that needs discussion on the list.
That needs a lot of discussion.
That's what I was assuming. Okay. I've written it down as a question for the list. Let's not get into it. I can almost imagine the conversation. The next thing is deleting. Both seats shall not be held by individuals who are employed by, an agent of, or receive any compensation from ICANN accredited registry or registrar. Nor shall both seats be held by individuals who are elected or appointed representatives of one of the four GNSO stakeholder groups or any constituency. That was deleted.
Yes.
And the question was, I don't understand, and this was Chuck?
Yes.
You didn't understand why the question was needed. If each house fills one of the seats, each house should have the freedom to select what they believe is the best candidate that meets the requirements for ICANN directors. So is there any objection to dropping this clause?
Well, this is Steve. My recollection is that this was part of the proposal made by the working group last summer and approved by the board.
What was, Steve?
That sentence. I may be wrong about that, but that's my recollection.
Yeah, a point of clarification on that, if I may.
Okay. Go ahead, John.
It was in the report, and there was a legacy sentence from when we had the entire council considering and voting on the two seats. When we moved at the very end to each house approving one board member, then that sentence became unnecessary. And second clarification is that the board has not approved this section.
That's correct.
Okay, so is there an objection to dropping it? I think I hear one.
Oh, this is Margie. Can I say something also?
Certainly.
Go ahead. Okay. Not so much the first part of it, but the second part of it just, I think, is meant to clarify that if you are to be if you're to be a director, that you should resign from your role as a representative of one of the four stakeholder groups or constituencies. So that's all what that second part is meant to address.
So does anyone object to at least that part of it being retained?
I would suggest we reword it then. If that's the objective, then that's what we should say.
Yeah,
okay.
But
I think I
need to place an objection, I think, to the whole removal. I think the existing wording had more redundancy perhaps than previously, but it is still not entirely redundant, and essentially there's no harm by remaining, and possibly maybe a safeguard, so I see no reason to delete it.
Well, I think now we're pretty much at the end. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 questions that we've posed in the first few pages here. We've made it up to
Article 7.
Article 7 on page 7. We will have to continue this. What I will do is I will try to start a question on each of the questions on the mailing list in the next day, so that we can get to it. We're obviously going to need to schedule another meeting of an hour. I'm going to suggest we try to find a time next week for it. I've got a full-time job next week. But anyhow, so that we get back to it, but let's try and get these 9 questions argued out, discussed out, and hopefully, even if we find out where the majority is, where the supermajority is, and find out what we can craft motions on. Thank you all for your participation, and talk to you again about this next week if we can schedule a meeting.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aubrey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.